This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
You are the Creator, Father. And thank you that we can come this afternoon and that we can worship you. Worship you for who you are. And Father, we know we're not the biggest church and we haven't got it all orchestrated over here, but it's coming out of our hearts. We worship you. And this is what you're looking for. You're looking for that we can come as we are, worshiping you. And thank you that we can worship you as Creator, and thank you that we can come as part of your creation. And thank you that we can come and that we can listen to you. Would you want to share with us this afternoon? And Father, I pray that everything that's trying to distract us, that we can cut it off in the name of Jesus Christ. That we can focus on what you want to share with us this afternoon. Because it's about your kingdom and about you. Not about the things in this world, because that only has got limited time. But a relationship with you, Father, is everlasting. And that we are reminded of that again this afternoon. And that's why we're worshiping you, for who you are. In Jesus' name. Amen. It is not #MeToo, it is just #MeToo. Because that #MeToo is what the world is talking about. But we're not talking about the world today, we're talking about what God is saying today. And that is the Bible. Because we've got enough what we are bombarded with during the week, what we get through all type of media. But today we want to listen to what God is sharing with us and what's coming out of the Bible. And what he's sharing with us is actually so basic. Everyone knows about it. We have to reproduce. And then, yeah, some will start smiling and say, okay, yes, we've got to reproduce. God said in Genesis 1, verses 28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, that's to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on earth. This is the instruction what God has given to the human being. This is what we've got to do. We have got to reproduce. Sometimes it's not happening because people are not getting married. Although, if we take a look at it in the Western world, I think there are maybe quite a lot of children born out of wedlock as well. It's also that people are immature. Because I think it's also good that children at a certain age cannot have children yet, because it would be a mess. They first have got to become adults, that they are old enough that they can get children. And it's also sometimes that through an illness or a disease, that there's not reproduction, that there are not children, that the fruitful and the multiply is not happening in the people's lives. But the reproduce God wants to talk to us this afternoon about is the one what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19-20, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Amen. It's sometimes happening that we are not producing. We are not reproducing. The word says over there, go therefore and make disciples. We have got to reproduce. We have got to create other disciples. But it's sometimes not happening. And we've got different reasons for it. And I'm not going to elaborate on that one this afternoon. But what I'm saying is that it is happening. That what God is... What Jesus has been telling us, that we're not doing what he is asking us to do. As God has gave it to every rich person and every poor person, they can have children. It is the same with every Christian. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be a certain age, you don't have to be a certain length, or you don't have to be a certain weight. Each and every Christian can produce another Christian. Each and every disciple can produce another disciple. And that's God's plan, what he has got, that he wants to work through us, that we should create other disciples. We are disciples from God, and we should create other disciples. And God wants to work through people, but he wants to work through churches as well. That's why in Acts that we also see that the church started over there, and then the church went, the people went, and they testified at other places how awesome and how great God is. Now, if there's one who wants us that we shouldn't reproduce, then it is the enemy, then it is the devil. He actually would like that no one's relationship with God is restored. The devil would like that all of us are going to be unsaved and that we're going along with him to hell. God is there, and he wants all of us to go along with him to heaven. But he wants to use us in our private capacity and as a church to take that task and to do it, to tell it, to share it to other people, how important God is in our lives and what God wants to save that person as well. But the devil continuously wants to stop it. But what is it actually to be a disciple or to be a follower? Because basically a disciple is a follower. When we read Matthew 4 verses 19, then he, which is Jesus, then said to them, "Follow me and I'll make you fishes of men." And that "follow me," the Greek word, it actually means you go behind Christ, you follow him. You basically follow his example. You follow him, what he's doing, and you're doing exactly the same. That's the one in Matthew 4 verses 19. Paul is talking in 1 Thessalonians, in 1 verses 6, he's talking about it and he says, "And you become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit." Become followers of us and of the Lord. And that word "follower" over there is the Greek word "memetes." And "memetes" actually means imitate. And the word what we know about it is mimics, copying somebody else. That's actually what we are asked to do. In Jesus' time, the rabbis were walking around and people were following them. They were even spending in the same room where they were sleeping. They were also sleeping as their rabbi. They were copy-paste would be today's maybe explanation for it, continuously. What Jesus was doing, they were doing. What Jesus was doing, they were doing. What Jesus was doing, they were doing. But at the end, what actually should be is that they were exactly the same as Jesus, that they could carry on their own. We know that students have got to go, and they've got to go sometimes and do apprentice. They are getting certain training, and then they've got to go and work at a certain place that they get training over there. But these disciples, these followers, were in training with Jesus. And Jesus at a certain time also said, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher." It would mean if you are working at a certain place and you've got a certain position and you've got a few people working underneath you, it would basically mean that you are going to train those people underneath you to take your job. And that's what Jesus has been doing with the disciples on this world when they came. They were for 3+ years with them, and he trained them that they were supposed to do the work as what they left. But it doesn't stop with the disciples. It doesn't stop with the apostles. As it is applicable for them, it's applicable for us as well. It's exactly the same. And the Great Commission has got 3 phrases. It says, "Go and tell, baptize the people, and teach them to obey everything what Jesus is commanding you. We've got to go and we've got to tell. We've got to go out and tell. Yes, we can invite people to come and say, come and listen over here. But we've got to go out to somebody. We have got to confront somebody. We have got to invite somebody and say, come, listen to what God has, listen to that message, that important message, what God has got for you. We've got to baptize people. Baptism is part of the process. It cannot be taken out over there. Jesus gave the example in the Jordan. We've got to do exactly what Jesus has been doing. We've got to be obedient to what Jesus is doing. He said, because he said, go, tell, and baptize. And then also teach them. You've got to learn the people of what is actually important and where do they have to take a look at. And in the teaching process, you also can explain of your testimonies in your life. But you can also tell them. But what you're doing at the moment, it's not what the Bible says what you're supposed to do. If you're staying with a girlfriend or with a boyfriend at the moment as husband and wife, this is not what the Bible says. If you're a new believer, then you must make up your mind and say, okay, if I want to follow Jesus, then I'm going to move out or I'm going to get married, whichever of the two you feel you want to do. But in the discipling, in that following, we are continuously busy with copy-paste. But sometimes we battle a little bit with it. James says in James 1 verses 22 to 25 that if we are listening to the word and if we're listening what Jesus is telling us, but we're not doing, then we are deceiving ourselves. Then we're only doing half of it. Because then we listen to what God is telling us, but we don't do it. And it says there in James 1, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, not a woman, but a man. It's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So it's basically meaning you're hearing what God is telling, you turn around and you forgot about what God was telling you and you don't do that. That's basically what it says over here. I'm not spending too much time in front of the mirror, but I can totally understand what James is mentioning over here. That you look and that you walk away and you totally forget. But God wants that we should remember what we've seen and what we've heard and that we carry on with it. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So if we're doing what God is asking us to do, then he will bless us well. If we're doing what God is telling us to do, then it's also necessary that we're going to follow up. And this was also where, as I was preparing the sermon, it was actually a reminder for me again. It is many times that we speak to people, we leave a certain message over there, and then we leave it. We never follow it up. But how important is that we should follow it up? If we take a look at the letters, what Paul has been written in the Bible, in the New Testament, they were all letters which were follow-up letters. Because he has been there. He started the congregation over there. And then he wrote follow-up letters afterwards. He was still thinking about them. He was still praying for them. And he said, but I'll come again and I'll see you again. So follow-up is very important that is done as well if we are going to spread the gospel as what Jesus has been asking us. And that's a very important part of the discipling process. A lot of times, and I'm going to read now Philippians 1 verses 6, then only 6 has been read. But if we take a look at what is actually written in 3 to 7, then we can see that whole part of it's not about that we're going to complete what Jesus is telling us to do, but that Paul is also continuously thinking about it. In 6 it says, be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The work will carry on. But if we go to verse 3, it says, I thank you, my God, upon every remembrance of you which means Paul was continuously thinking about them. He was thinking about those Philippians. He was thinking about them. It wasn't something that he forgot about them. He went there, started the church over there, left them, and went to another place. No. Afterwards, he wrote a letter to them. You're still in my mind. I'm still remembering you. Always in every prayer of mine, making a request for you, all with joy. Philippians, of course, is a letter with a lot of joy in it. Always in every prayer. So each and every time what he's praying, he's remembered again of what that church over there, that congregation in Philippians, and he's praying for it, for them. In my own life, it's sometimes happening that I've spoken to a certain person, and then 1 week or 2 weeks later, I forget about it. I do not get it in remembrance again. I'm not praying for that person again. And then I started a small booklet, and I'm writing down the names. And then sometimes I just put my hand on top of that book, and I said, Lord, with whoever I've been spoken, with whoever I've shared the gospel, I pray for that, that seed is not going to be stolen, that that seed is going to cultivate, that it is going to bear fruit for your kingdom. If I'm going to see the person again, if it is going to cultivate this year, next week, I don't know. But that it's not lost, that I think about it again, and that I pray for it again. For your fellowship in gospel from the first day until now, fellowship. We've got to have fellowship. If we've been speaking to somebody and if we've been explaining the gospel to somebody, we cannot just drop that person. The person has got to be close to us. We've got to share. We've got to hear. We've got to be next to them. Because if a person has accepted Jesus Christ, it's like a small plant which is coming out of the ground. There's nothing more vulnerable than a small plant just coming out of the ground. Because it's just a little bit of wind, too much rain, and it's gone. So there you've got to protect it. You've got to be around it. Your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think of this, to think this of you all, thinking again, because I have you in my heart. He's thinking about those people, of that congregation, what he started over there. Inasmuch as both in my chains and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. We are together. We're working together. They are in fellowship. It's not one single person who's going to save the whole world. We're all working together. And if it's different congregations and it's at different times and in different ways, it doesn't matter. What God is telling us, go and tell. We've got to share the gospel. And we as Shofar, to reach the nations and generations. That's what we want to do. We want continuously want to do it. That's also the Bible school, the video clip what you've seen just now, that people can be educated as well, which is going to help them. Because that the third year of Bible school is about church plant. How are you going to plant a church somewhere else? How are you going to share the gospel with somebody else? And that you also are going to be educated. What is it when you're talking about the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, when you're talking about baptism, why, and so on. It's all in a Bible school. So, and I'm doing a little bit of advert now for the Bible school. If you haven't done it, it's really worthwhile doing it. You can do it via the internet, which means you can watch the video clips on your time. You do it via the internet, your exams as well, and it's really worthwhile doing it. And if you want to know more about it, then please, after the sermon, you can speak to me. If we're going to spend time with a person, let's say 20 minutes, an hour, and we're going to share the gospel. And the person says, yes, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. We've got to spend at least 20 weeks with that person before that person is really settled, before that person can be a disciple maker and disciple another person again. Because it's nice that people are going to get saved. But the most important thing is that they're going to get saved so that they can save another person again. That we get that reaction going. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us. And that's actually awesome that, follow up what Paul did with the letters, what he wrote. God is giving us also a type of a follow up with the Holy Spirit. If we take time and if we listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling us, then the Holy Spirit will remind us of those for whom we've got to pray for. The Holy Spirit will remind us and will give us inputs as well, what we've got to do, and tell us what you can do, whom you've got to approach, to whom you've got to speak, and what you've got to speak. Or maybe give you a picture of a certain person. If you go and evangelize on the evening, that it will give you a picture of a person that you know, I've got to speak that person. The Holy Spirit has already spoken to that person. The Holy Spirit is already working in that person's life. And then when you're going to approach that person is ready. You can speak to him. David Platt at a certain time said, to be a disciple of Jesus is to make a disciple of Jesus. I've once been told that there was a church in Japan that if you wanted to become a member of that church, you had to bring two other people along whom you brought to Christ. Otherwise, you couldn't become a member of that church. Now, we at Shofar, we don't do that. But wouldn't it be awesome if something like that would happen? That we would say, but first, bring some fruit that we can see. You're really a follower of Christ. You're a disciple of Christ. You're a disciple maker because you bring other people who've accepted Jesus now. And we've got to test ourselves. 2 Corinthians 3:13 verses 5, and I took it out of the Amplified. Examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you're holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of it. Test and prove yourself, not Christ. Do you not yourselves realize and know thoroughly by an ever-increasing experience that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are counterfeits, disapproved, on trial and rejected? So it's basically saying we've got to check ourselves. And say, are we showing some fruit? Can we show some fruit? Is there some fruit what we can show that we can say, yes, we are busy with disciple making? I'm going to throw a few numbers now. If I was going to lead a person to Christ and I was going to take half a year to prepare that person to become a disciple maker, and that person was going to get somebody else to Christ also, then at the end of the year, if I'm doing my calculations correct, because I'm going to have a second person as well, then at the end of the year, we should be four. If that multiplication is going to carry on, which means that each and every half year, each and every person who's been discipled is going to disciple another person, in year 12, the whole of the Netherlands would be saved. In year 17, the whole of the world, with 7.7 billion people, would be saved. And that's with one person starting with it. Making another person come to Christ, and that person making another person to come to Christ, and carry on and carry on and carry on. It's multiplying at such a tremendous speed. But if you've got one person, someone in the line, who's not doing what he's supposed to do, then your numbers, as they increase tremendously, they fall tremendously as well. But that's just giving you an idea how it is possible that if we are really committed and if we're doing what God is telling us to do, all of us, that we're not, and I'm saying it with respect, that we're not going to be sitting on a Sunday over here and heating up a seat, but that we really are seriously with our Christianity and we bring people to Christ. If I do the calculations, what I did just now, this hall would have been too small. The church would have been small and too small for us in 2 or 3 years. If all of us would have been, and if I would have done exactly, but I haven't. And as I was busy with it, and I thought about it again, and I also realized, but wait a moment, what I'm saying over there and what I'm reading over there is as applicable for me. Because church is not a social club. Church is not a nice gathering. It's not an event. It's not an amusement. Church is a relationship with God. And church is a relationship in that way that if we've accepted Jesus Christ and if we've made him king in our lives, that we are going to tell it to other people, that they can tell it to other people, that they can tell it to other people. And that is the whole process. And that is the whole idea of a church. And this is, like I said, it's not difficult this afternoon. It's actually just a reminder because most of you will say, yes, I've heard it before. But if we do not speak about it, and if we don't talk about it, then we're just going to meet next week again, and we're going to meet next week again, and nothing is going to happen. In Acts 2, they started with roughly 3,000 people, as what we can read in a church. In approximately 100 years after Christ, according to the number, there were 25,000. In approximately 3 years after Christ, there were 30 million Christians. There was no media. There was no YouTube. There was no Facebook. There was no printed material. The only thing what they were doing is they were testifying. They were speaking with their mouth of what Jesus has done in their life. They were putting hands on people to get healed. They were sending demons out. They let the Holy Spirit flow through them. And that's where you could see that multiplication going. In China in 1950, they had 1 million people saved, Christians over there. In 1992, which is then 42 years later, that number increased to 75 million. So that's a huge increasement. And it is possible if people are doing, if Christians are doing what Jesus is asking them to do, reproduce. And if Jesus is speaking to you, then it's the King speaking to us. Those of you who are working, you will most probably obey what your senior is saying to you. Because maybe at the beginning of the month, you can sometimes say, okay, I'm not going to do it. But if it comes end of the month when your salary slip is close by, then you most probably say, yes, boss, I'll do whatever you will do. My payment day is another 2 days and I'll be obedient. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is asking us, go and tell, make disciples. That's what he's asking. So if we are obedient to a boss who is a boss only for a certain period in our lives, why are we not obedient to what God is asking us, what Jesus is asking us? The week before last week, they had in London, they had an outreach week. They call it the turning. The principle what they're using is that they are very direct to a person. They immediately approach a person, ask questions, and do a prayer, and ask them after prayer if they wanted to accept Jesus Christ or not. It's nearly like shaking a tree. If the apple is green and not ripe yet, you leave it will fall not off. But if the person is right, then the person will react. There were 200 churches involved in London, which is awesome. Which I'm actually surprised with it that it is possible that 200 different churches in London came together for a week, and it was outreach week. In a total of 7 hours, they got 1,144 people who said yes on that invitation and accepted Jesus Christ. I would be so glad if something like that could have been done over here in Utrecht, if all the churches could come together and say, we're going into the streets, we're going to spread the gospel. This is what Jesus told us. Jesus didn't tell us that we've got to have our own church, each and every one. Jesus told us, go and tell, that we've got to do, that people can come and that they can follow Christ. And we only have got to invest in one person at a time. We don't have to have big numbers. I also wouldn't know what to do if we had a church of 1,000 or 1,500 members. I would feel very uncomfortable. I don't know. A few people is much better. Then you can control them, you can see them, and you know them, what their capacities are, and so on and so on. But that's where everything is starting. Because if you've got those few, and they are committed, and they're doing what God is telling them to do, then you can see the turnaround. If we take a look at the statistics as well of the people who are coming to our church, then majority of them are coming via the internet. We've got three options over there. The one is internet, the other one is friend, and the other one is other. And it should actually be, all of them coming to the church over here, should actually be by friend. Somebody else said, come along with me. I want to share the gospel with you, but come along with me and see where I am. What is the church what I'm going to? That should actually be the best. of those of you who are lucky to be parents, your first mission field is your children. So don't go out and forget your child at home. On Thursday evening, I spoke to a person. He was, I guess, anything in the age of 50. Now, I'm 60, so which means that if I've got to guess the age of somebody who's younger than me, I'm always out. But okay, let's say he was 50. And then I spoke to him, and then I asked him, and I said, what is Jesus? Who is Jesus for you in your life? And then he said, no, his father is a domine. It's a pastor. And I said, okay. And I said, okay, what church are you going? And he said, no, he's not going to the church. I said, but your father is a pastor and you're not going to the church? And he said, no. I said, I'm too busy. I've got too many things to do. And on a Sunday morning, I just want to sleep. I don't want to get out of bed early and then go to church. That's not for me. And then I thought by myself, it's actually so bad that that is happening. If you've been living in a house with a dad who has been a pastor, but he hasn't shared with you how important it is that the next generation is not going to church anymore. Because it's also, if we are keeping quiet for one generation, there's no church anymore. Church has stopped then. Because we're not telling, we're not sharing other people. I'm leaving you with a question at the end. Who is the man, who is the woman you're discipling at the moment? And if there's one thing that I would like you to remember of this sermon, then it's this question. Forget about the songs, nothing wrong, Marco. They normally remember a sermon of the songs, because that comes back into your mind again on a Monday morning when you wake up and you say, holy, 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 yeah, that's what we've been singing yesterday. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. That's what we've been singing yesterday. But I would like you to remember this question. Who is the man? Who is the woman you're discipling? I've got to answer that question as well. And as I prepared this week for the sermon, I thought, yes, that question, I've got to write it down somewhere, that I see it continuously. With whom am I busy for God's kingdom? Whom am I busy to prepare that person can prepare another person again? This is what Jesus told us. He didn't tell us, get saved and come to church and have coffee and cake. No, that's fine. But we also have got to share it with other people. And we must probably going to ask, okay, what's my next step? What am I going to do? We're doing exactly the same as what the disciples did as well when they waited for the power of the Holy Spirit. They prayed. They came together and they prayed. And this is why I've put the cards on the chairs, that you can have a look at it, the cards, because you can write down the name of the person who God is putting in your heart for whom you've got to disciple. And it could be a person, would you say, but at the moment I haven't got a relationship with him or with her, but God is putting that person on my heart. Then you write it down. You say, Lord, I don't know how am I going to make contact. And it could be a family member. It can be a colleague. It can be a student. It can be somebody who you always see on the bus stop each and every working day, and that you say, but I've got to approach that person. And it could also be that you say, but I don't know. I don't know where to start. I don't know. Then pray. Pray first with your small group leader. And if you're battling, then otherwise come to me or Renee, then we will like to pray with you. That God is going to tell you to whom you've got to start first. You can fill in all the names, but that's going to keep you quite busy. Let's start only with one. That you're going to have one. So if somebody is asking you that question, whom are you discipling? You say, okay, wait a moment, let me just get your card. This is the person I'm discipling. This is the person I'm spending time with. This is the person who's coming up in my mind when I pray. This is the person when I'm having fellowship with. This is the person who I'm going to invite to church. Or this is the person where I'm spending and having a cup of coffee or a cup of tea with, and where I'm sharing what God has done in my life. I want to finish off. Jesus died for us at the cross so that we could have eternal life. And Jesus asked that we should share it with other people, that we shouldn't keep quiet about it. And that's where the Me Too is coming from as well. I want to do the same. I also want to tell other people. I also want to share the gospel with other people. I also want to make an influence in other people's lives. And it's not only for a few people. Jesus said it to, at that time, the 11 disciples. It wasn't that he said to James, Matthew, you've got to do this or you've got to do that. No, he gave that instruction to all of them. And all of them have been in training for that. And all of us have got to do it. Because you can reach a certain person with whom I haven't got any contact, but you can have contact with him. And you can say, yeah, but it's very difficult and it's very hard. If God is telling us that to do, and if we are obedient, then God will make a way as well. Then he will make that person's heart, will make it soft. And it will make you bold as well. That you will do certain things which you said, I never thought I could do that. But it can be done. We can go. I want to be obedient to what God is telling me. And I want to do the same as what the disciples have been doing. I want to be part of it. Me too, Lord. I want to do exactly the same.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.